This is Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Jordan Bell. March is National Nutrition Month, and it's a tradition which began as a week-long campaign by the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics in the early 1970s and later became the month-long effort it is today. Dietetics throughout the country use this month to engage with the public about food choices and physical activity. This year's theme is Savor the Flavor of Eating Right. Our guests today represent the Coastal Tri-Counties District of the California Dietetic Association for National Nutrition Month. Registered Dietitian Nutritionist Dr. Susan Swadner and Registered Dietitian Megan Coates with Cal Poly Campus Dining are here to talk with us more about the health campaign. Welcome to Issues and Ideas.
Thank you.
So National Nutrition Month is a massive information and educational outreach campaign that's grown over the years to educate the public about nutrition. Can you speak about the need for this campaign and explain the current landscape of health and food awareness in America?
I think one of the big reasons that we do need this campaign is that there's so much misinformation out in the media, and we really do appreciate your interviewing us today to get out really good, solid information. I teach at Cal Poly. I run the dietetic internship, and I have a private practice, and patients are so confused. They don't know, should I go on paleo? Should I not have gluten? What should I do? And so I think it's important to get out facts, and what we promote as registered dietitian nutritionist is things based on science.
I primarily work with students on campus and do a lot of education and outreach. And I really consider myself a mythbuster. That's really what I do call myself on campus. I'm constantly hearing and getting questions of, you know, radical diets, trends, fads that students are really getting off the internet from their friends, their family. So it really is important that I'm up to date with the research to make sure that I'm, you know, spreading awareness for the correct information. So students and staff and faculty have the right information to then make healthy choices.
So what's going on this month to help spread healthful eating awareness locally and nationally too?
Well, I have 9 dietetic interns, and we have another person, Tiana Sheehan, in our group who is in charge of National Nutrition Month. So she's asking each intern, they're in the various hospitals and clinics and schools here in San Luis Obispo County and in Santa Barbara County, to work with their preceptors to promote National Nutrition Month at their facilities. So this way we have 9 people out in the county working for us to do that, and being on your show, being on other shows that we're promoting it.
Mm-hmm. Now, since you've both started in this industry, I'm wondering how you've seen health trends, and, like you alluded to, some food fads maybe, play into your roles as educators.
Well, I think there is actually, with more media, with more social media and mass media, there is much more messages out there, and I think there's more confusion.
It's harder to break through the noise.
I think it is. And again, too, one thing about being a registered dietitian is it's exciting because new things are always happening, and it's like Megan said, we have to be on the cutting edge and know what is out there.
Mm-hmm. And just to add on to that, you know, nutrition isn't one size fits all. It really is specific to different individuals. So, and that makes it exciting but difficult at the same time. So something that may work for one person isn't going to work for someone else. And that's why it's so important to make sure you're reaching out to a nutrition professional, like a registered dietitian, if you really do need specific information. Because again, they're going to ask you, you know, a variety of questions to make sure that they really are getting to know the individual, to make sure that they're meeting their needs. A lot of the mass media and information out there isn't going to be specific to your individual needs, which again kind of confuses the clutter in your brain. So it's hard to, you know, kind of sift through that to make sure that you're receiving the correct information.
Yeah, I wonder if all the information that's being out there does drive people to become more curious, though, about their health, and then they go to you and say, "Well, is this?" This is right for me.
Absolutely. And that's what we hope. We hope that they're reaching out to the correct professionals, but unfortunately that's not always the case. So that's why Susan are so passionate about this, of really getting out there who the experts are in the field, and all the education that we do have and all the research that we do read on a day-to-day basis to make sure that we can portray the correct information and get that out there to people in the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I did my doctorate at Cornell on the effect of TV advertising on children's nutrition, and I found it was a great impact. Mm-hmm. However, the mother's attitude towards nutrition also intervened. And then when I got my first job in South Central Los Angeles, I did a mass media nutrition education campaign. Bill Cosby did the spots for us. We didn't have any problems. And we did, you know, we had posters on the buses. We were on TV shows, radio shows in LA. And what people said when we did some surveys in the community, they wanted to learn about nutrition through the media.
Okay. So how has your role as an educator changed over the years in how you spread this message? Has it changed much since you got started?
Oh, for sure. And I think Facebook, a lot of us as dietitians have, most of the people on my Facebook page are dietitians and are students in nutrition. And I think social media is a wonderful way. There's some dietitians that have incredible blogs. So I think we're getting out the information, even cooking channels, too. People are it's interesting to say a lot of people are watching the cooking channels, but a lot of them are not even cooking. They're just watching how people cook for entertainment. But I think we have that there. Or you can go on YouTube. If you don't know how to prepare, let's say, a turkey, you can see exactly how to do it. So I think it's wonderful. There's a lot of positive.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with registered dietitian nutritionist Dr. Susan Swadner and registered dietitian Megan Coates with Cal Poly Campus Dining about National Nutrition Month here on Issues and Ideas on KCBX. So what are some of the big messages we see every day about food and health? And are some of these giving misinformation about healthful eating and behavior?
I think the biggest misinformation I see is the gluten-free. And yes, I have patients. I actually am seeing more patients with celiac disease. But a lot of people think gluten is bad. It's a protein in wheat. And I think people are eliminating it not unnecessarily.
I think what I typically see with students and people, even my friends and family, is the fad diets. And again, a lot of research isn't backing up a lot of these diets. And, you know, who knows, in months and years down the road, it may change, just like nutrition does. And that's, like we said, it keeps it so exciting and interesting. But, you know, people see sometimes, a lot of times people see dramatic results quickly when they do jump on these fad diet bandwagons, mm-hmm. but they're not sustainable for long periods of time. And so that's what I really try to educate students and staff and faculty about, is the longevity of this quote-unquote diet. Is it sustainable? Can you continue to do this for your lifelong health and well-being? And a lot of times the answer is no. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to do. And then they, you know, you throw words in like cheating and, you know, it was my cheat day or my cheat meal. Let's throw those words out the door. And let's just stick to eating all in moderation, balance, lots of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, lean proteins, healthy fats. And let's, you know, think about the diet as a whole and not just, you know, jumping on these fad diet bandwagons.
Yeah. I recently heard something on one of the public radio cooking shows, The Splendid Table, and someone was talking about how in America and in other cultures too, they have like marketing and things like that have created an idea that cooking's really hard and people aren't very good at it. And you need to buy some things to make your life easier. And oftentimes these products aren't necessarily very helpful. And the reality is that anyone can cook. We've been doing it for years and years and years. How does cooking play a role in how you educate folks?
I think it's really important, and a lot of times with clients, I spend time giving them recipes, telling them how to cook and prepare. And a lot of people don't have time. I'm busy. I come home. I'm tired. I teach. I have private practice. But a lot of times on the weekends, I'll cook a big pot of chili. I'll make a lot of soup, and I freeze it or even keep some leftovers in their fridge. So I think planning is the biggest thing, is people need to learn how to plan ahead.
Mm-hmm. You stole what I was going to say. One of the biggest, again, when I'm working with students, is they're stretched for time, as we all are. But a lot of times they still are working on their time management skills as a young adult. So I really, again, give recipes. I literally will list out what I do on Sunday. You know, I make my egg white veggie frittata. I make smoothies. I make hard-boiled eggs. I make oatmeal. I grill a ton of chicken and roast a ton of vegetables and put salads together all on Sunday. Yes, I do. You know, it takes me a few hours to do all of that, but I put on some fun music and I, you know, boogie while I prepare all my meals for the entire week. So me and my husband are set up for success. Yeah. So then we know we aren't running, you know, to grab something that isn't, that wouldn't be as healthy. And I really stress this with students and the young adults and, I mean, everyone in general. This is a, you know, this is a good idea for is just to really plan ahead on Sunday, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks too. So you're setting yourself up for success.
Yeah. Now, can you go over some tips that you're trying to get out this month during National Nutrition Month?
I think the big thing, you know, the theme is savor the flavor of eating right. It's also people get so worried about being healthy. I mean, people can get this eating disorder, orthorexia, where they go to the extreme. So people should just really enjoy their food. We don't tell Americans that enough. I think guidelines in other countries, one of them is enjoy your food. And so they can enjoy the flavors. Or when people are sitting in my office waiting, they're sitting in the waiting room going, all right, what's she going to take away? What's she going to take away from me? Usually we're adding to them and giving them, use herbs, use spices, make color, different colors on your plate. So I think this year, too, is a real positive message, and enjoy food with your family. Make it a pleasant and healthy experience.
If you sit down for a meal, from what I understand, it has benefits for you, and you think about what you're eating instead of mindlessly looking at your phone or watching TV while you eat. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it really does take our brains about 15 to 20 minutes to actually register our food and what we're eating. So it is, you know, sitting down. I love the idea of, we do this at meetings at work all the time, actually putting your cell phone in the middle of the table, you know, or off the table, even better. Putting on some nice light music in the background for a nice ambiance. Lighting a few candles. It should be a relaxing experience and a fun experience. You know, asking about your day, you know, what's going on in the world. But really taking that time, because it does. Like I said, it does take time for your brain to register if you're full or not. Mm-hmm. So the longer you're sitting at the table enjoying conversation, enjoying your family and friends, the less you're actually going to eat in the long run, because you're enjoying the company and the flavors and the textures of the food. You're actually registering the flavors and the textures of the food as opposed to just shoveling it into your mouth.
Right.
So it's actually it benefits in multiple ways.
Right. Today is actually National Dietitians Day, and a registered dietitian is different from a nutritionist. Can you talk about that distinction?
Okay, yes. Registered dietitians, and we're actually calling ourselves now registered dietitian nutritionists. So someone who has the RD or the RDN is someone who's gone to college, a program at Cal Poly, and a didactic program in dietetics, where they studied biochemistry, physiology, organic chemistry, and nutrition. And then after that, they have to do a supervised practice, a dietetic internship of at least 1,200 hours. And then after that, they have to take a very rigorous exam to become an RD. And the reason for this is to protect the public, that we have people that are trained based on evidence-based knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And then also to maintain the registered dietitian or RD or RDN credential, mm-hmm. we have to maintain continuing education units, just like any medical professional. So we do have to do those yearly, and then we do get audited every 5 years by a governing body to make sure that we are maintaining those credentials to maintain our RD. Part of the internship that Susan spoke of, the 1,200-hour internship, is wonderful because you're actually going out into the community wherever you're doing your internship, you know, in hospitals, in WIC clinics, in school food service, in university food service, all kinds of areas in the community, and really acting as an RD under a supervisor, of course. So it's a great exposure to being an RD and what the opportunities are there now, which is so much more than there were even 10 or 15 years ago. I always tell students it's the best way to try out a job. Where else can you actually try a job and see if it's something you like? If it's not, you never have to do that again. So it's a great opportunity to for us to build, you know, an arsenal of, you know, tons of communication and, you know, just interacting with the public and interacting with patients and clients. It's a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as Megan said, too, my interns would probably have 9-10 jobs in 10 months. And also, too, a lot of them get into the internship, don't know what they want to do. And right now, too, wellness, corporate wellness is getting bigger. Microsoft has a dietitian. a lot of companies are we have a wellness group, VIE Wellness Solutions here, that they go into different companies and teach nutrition classes and do screenings and counseling.
Mm-hmm. And can you give an example of what a one-on-one situation with a dietitian would look like? You know, what does the individual benefit from having that experience?
Well, and I think as Megan said wonderfully, is that it's very individual. And sometimes we're like detectives. Mm-hmm. The other night I had a client and I spent more time listening than actually asking. She actually was telling me her story. Mm-hmm. You ask people when they get up, when do they go to sleep, what they like to eat, who they live with. So you get a feel about their needs. And I also, what's very important too is I've learned, do motivational interviewing. What do you need from me today? Why are you here? I let my clients set up their own goals and make them measurable, and so they don't feel like they fail. And also when I says, you know what, if it doesn't work out, that's great because we'll talk about it the next session and figure out what to do. So keep it very flexible, like not you failed or cheated. I tell my clients we're doing an individual food plan. You can't fail. If it isn't working, we change it.
Registered dietitian nutritionist Dr. Susan Swadner and registered dietitian Megan Coates with Cal Poly Campus Dining represent the Coastal Tri-Counties District of the California Dietetic Association for National Nutrition Month, which is being recognized this month of March. And this is Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX, from Salinas to Ventura. For Issues and Ideas, I'm Jordan Bell.